Deuteronomy 32. We're looking at a topic I wish more Christians knew about. I'm surprised at how many don't. This is a tool that needs to go in your toolbox. I hope when we're done with this, you fully understand it. I don't know a successful Christian that does not use what I'm getting ready to teach you this morning. Deuteronomy 32. Look at verse number 28. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. God says, the reason you don't have any understanding is you don't get counsel. They're void or they don't get counsel, therefore they don't have any understanding. When you read the next verse, it says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And God says, I wish they knew the importance of getting counsel. And they don't, therefore they suffer. I, as a pastor, I watch people struggle needlessly. I'm not going to say that every person in our church struggles needlessly. I will say this, as a pastor though, I watch people struggle needlessly because they won't get counsel. They don't use this tool. I watch. I can only give counsel when it is asked of me. I can't, hey, you know, there's a better way to do that. You can't do that unless somebody's asking. Advice not asked for is seldom heeded and often resented. You don't interject your opinion, your insight. You don't do that just because. They need to be asking it. We'll see that today in the lesson. You need to understand then when God says, I wish you got counsel, then what is God talking about? Go to Judges 18, verse 5. And they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. Biblical counsel is guidance and wisdom for life, for the direction in your life. Advice is when you use somebody's knowledge and experience to accomplish a task. That's advice. I can ask advice of anybody. I could ask Zach advice on how to wire a three-way switch because I've never done it before if I was doing it at my house. I could say, hey, how do you do this? And then he would use his knowledge and his experience to help me accomplish a task. That's advice. That's not counsel. Biblical counsel is where you say, I want to know the direction God wants me to go in my life in this area. That's counsel. Take your Bible and go to 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 6. When you mention counseling in today's world, because of the psychology and the psychologists and the humanistic mindset, your problems are all based on your environment or somebody else's to blame. That's psychology. The problems you're having now is because, you know, you never went fishing with your dad or you never had a puppy or, and they've got all these circumstances. Or it's your environment's fault. In America, they've given Section 8 housing, government-paid-for housing to people, and they've already shown we can give you an ideal environment, and what happens to that environment? It gets destroyed. If they would have read the Bible, they would have found out, no, your environment is not the source of your problem. God put Adam and Eve in a perfect garden, in a perfect world, and they sinned against God. It's never your circumstances and your environment. But modern psychology says, no, your problems are because your environment, your past, or no, your problems in your life, when you read the Bible, your problems in your life is because of sin and your relationship with God. No, your problem in life is not your environment. Your problem in life is not your past. Your problem in life is how close are you to God? How much do you love the Lord? That's psychology. In our world, you have to define counsel because they think counsel, you go to somebody, you lay on a couch, and you tell them all the bad things that have ever happened in your life. That's not biblical counsel. Biblical counsel is when you ask, I want to know what God wants me to do. I'm looking for help to find out God's direction for my life. If you come to me for counsel, I don't tell you what to do. You can give me the problem. And then normally counsel from a pastor is this. What does the Bible say? If I don't know what the Bible says, I can find it or I can talk to somebody that does. That's wisdom. Your wisdom is this. If you can't find the answer in the Bible, you know it's there, then go to somebody that has it. I can show you what the Bible says, but I don't tell you what to do. I don't try to run your house. But if you're saying, what does the Bible say about this? I can show you what the Bible says. I can give you some opinions if you want them. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 6. Here's another description of counsel. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. They're talking about Samuel. Now let us go thither peradventure. And here's the definition of counsel. He can show us our way that we should go. Judges 18:5, 1 Samuel 9:6 says, this thing that we're looking at, the Christian and his advisors, or counsel, or your cabinet of counselors, is somebody that can help you, not with advice, with counsel or guidance and direction for life. Go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs is the book of wisdom in the Bible. And if a wise person gets counsel, like we saw in Deuteronomy, a lot of verses on getting counsel is from Proverbs. Proverbs says, if you want to be wise, this is how you live your life. Proverbs 20, verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. God says a wise person wants counsel. They don't avoid it. The older men of God that I have known, normally, you love everybody. You help everybody that you can. And if people don't want your help, then you go find somebody that does. That's probably one of the most frustrating parts of the pastorate, is if I'm not being asked, I just literally watch people struggle. I can pray, amen, and I do, and I can preach, but I can't make people take advice. I don't do that. So if they're not asking, I watch them struggle raising kids. I watch them struggle with relationships. I watch them, and I'm like, there's a better way to live. But if they're not asking, counsel in the heart of a man is like a deep well. And a person who's wise with understanding will draw it out. You know what's wonderful about our church? All the older people in our church. Every old person is not wise. I've known some old sickos. So I didn't say just because they're old, that doesn't make them wise. I've known some nasty old men, dirty old men, nasty. And they were in their 70s. And I mean, nasty. So just because somebody's old doesn't make them godly. But you can look around in our church auditorium. There are some older men in there. They're godly men. And what's God's plan in the Bible? That the younger draw from the older. That's always been God's plan. The younger women are supposed to ask the older ladies. The younger men are supposed to ask. When you look at our church, yeah, we have several old people in our church. I'm amazed at how many questions they're not asked. Brother Wilkins is 81. 81 years old, been in church, saved with his family most of his life. Brother Dorsey's been saved 32 years, loves the Lord, been faithful man. I think if people understood the importance of pulling counsel out of their hearts, how much do they interject their opinion if you're not asking? They normally keep their mouth shut. So unless they're being asked, it would be wonderful. It's wonderful when the younger generation says, teach me. And I'm saying this in a respectful way. Teach me, old man, what you know. I need what you have. Tell me. I asked the man that did our wedding, Brother Johnson, the man that taught me soul winning, the day we got married. I said, okay, what would you tell a young guy on the day of his marriage? I took him to a place, we got a cup of coffee, and I asked him that question. We're sitting in the car, and this is what he told me. He just said, tell her every day you love her. You'll never tell her too much. That was from an old man. I'm amazed at how many old people in our church are literally, they come into church, they'll greet, they say hi, but they're asked nothing. They're not treated, I think, like God says, treat the older people in our church. Understanding the counsel in the heart of a man is like a well, and people of understanding draw it out. Go to Proverbs 24. This topic of counsel in the Bible, proper counsel, is such a huge topic. It is something you could literally do 3 or 4 Bible studies on. Proverbs 24, look at verse number 5. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, war. A war is a huge undertaking. By wise counsel you make war. What does a war involve? Logistics, food, supplies. A war is a multifaceted undertaking. So God says, by wise counsel, make your war. What does that mean? When you get ready to do something huge in your life, get counsel before you make war. Somebody says, oh, great, now I got to ask advice of the preacher before I buy a can of pop. That's not what this is talking about. But I would think this, before you purchase a house and go in debt for 30 years, I like what one couple did in our church. They were getting ready to buy a house. I said, Pastor, would you go by and look at it and tell us what you think? I went by. They told me the situation. They were this close to giving the money to it. And I said, that's a scam. I wouldn't do that. Those are professionals running that. And I said, they'll take your money and you won't ever see that money again. I was somebody, had no emotion attached to it, right? I called another realtor in our church and I said this. And they said, yeah, that scam's happening and they're taking people on buying houses. They were this close. By wise counsel, I would think before you buy a house, ask counsel. Say, preacher, hey, this and this, would you pray about it? Amen? I like the old statement, would you go by and tell us what you think? If I think something's funky, I'll tell you. What's another major undertaking in your life? I would think sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes a job change can be very helpful with counsel. Because sometimes you can get sick of a job, you can get tired of it, and you can't see straight, and literally any way out you'll take. Sometimes it helps to get somebody's godly counsel who isn't in that situation. Sometimes I've watched people be in a job, they're abused, they're stepped on, treated like dogs. And they were so caught up in the world, they needed somebody to tell them, you need to get a different job. You don't have to be treated this way. Nurses, I think, are notorious for it. The nursing field is very limited. They need more people than they have. I've watched several nurses, literally the hospital would drive them in the dirt and could care less about their family or whatever. Nursing is just one area. A nurse can almost get a job anywhere. They need to be treated right. Sometimes people can be in a job where it's abusive and they're like, oh, I just have to do this. And they need somebody to help them say, no, there's a better job out there. By wise counsel make war. Notice the next phrase of the verse in verse 6. And in multitude of counselors there is safety. God says that three times. Multitude of counselors in Proverbs 11:14, Proverbs 15:22, and the verse we just looked at, verse 6. What is God talking about? When God says you're safe if you have a multitude of counselors, it is not talking about a group of people that agree with you. And if I think there's any damage that has come from the social media and Twitter and Facebook and do you like this, it's gathering a group of people that agree with you. And nobody can dare disagree with you or you'll unfriend them or dislike them. Part of life is learning to deal with, you know, whatever happened to my dad looking at me going, that was stupid, what'd you do that for? Everybody needs to hear that. You know, oh, that was from my heart, and how dare you disagree with me? In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. God is not saying you go around and find a multitude of people that agree with you. Do you like what I did? Do you like what I'm getting ready to do? He's not saying that. A multitude of counselors is a cabinet of counselors that you have, and when it comes to your finances, there's godly people that you can trust to ask money questions to. Is this a wise investment? Is this good? This is how much I have in savings. This is what I owe. Should I invest this? And you don't just ask anybody that. You ask people, okay, when we have a Dr. Anderson here and he's counseling with people, free financial counsel, he's handled millions of dollars. You go in there, you say, here's my budget, here's my finances, here's my savings. What would you do? That's getting counsel from somebody that is not going to make any money off of you, but he's a godly man. How about this? In the area of employment, we just talked about that. In the area of marriage, yeah, you need godly people that you can ask godly counsel of. Normally when people get married, the couple gets frustrated in the first year and a half because everything doesn't end up the way they think it's going to be. And she's comparing him to her dad, who's experienced, and he's comparing her to his mom, who's experienced. And the young couple has to learn not to do that. She has to learn to let him make mistakes, and he has to learn to let her make mistakes. They need counsel. They need saying, okay, yeah, the older couples have a nice house. They have two cars, three cars. They've been working at this a while. You just got married. You need to be eating off of can lids with improvised broken plastic forks. you pay your dues, do it a couple of years, and you'll be able to earn money. But you, no, you're not going to, in your first year of marriage, have what your parents had after 30 years of marriage. It takes time to develop that. It's okay to live in a trailer when you get married, and then you start working your way up. You're not going to have the nice big... You understand? But there's a mentality. Counsel helps in this. Friends... How about this? God tells us in 2 Kings 8:8 and James 5:14, when you're sick, go to the preacher and have him anoint you with oil. If I found out I had cancer tomorrow, I would go to one of the men of God that I know in this area, and I'd say, hey, they said I've got terminal stage 4 cancer, you know, cancer. I need you to pray for me. You say, why? Because God says when you're sick, and that's not talking about cold and sinus. It's talking about when something bad happens medically in your life. One of the things, one of the tools that you have is going and having the pastor pray for you. That's why I keep olive oil on my desk. I've had 3 people in 4 years come to my office and say, Pastor, I'm sick. We need prayer. And so I read James chapter 5. If any is sick among you, let him go to the elders and pray, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I'm amazed. This is something everybody's supposed to do. And it's not my prayers. It says when you have enough faith to ask, it's your prayer of faith that God sees and responds to, if that's God's will. I always start every prayer for healing the same way. God, you're in control, you're not on trial, and you're a good God, and you know what's best. But Lord, you said pray. So we're going to pray. And we're asking you for healing. But God, if you don't heal, you're still a good God. This is a multitude of counselors. Having people that you can go to in each area. Maybe one person helps with 2 areas or whatever. But this is a multitude of counselors. Go to Psalm chapter 1. Every successful Christian I know that was not just in church for a year and then got out, but has been faithful through the years, uses this tool. I just wish more people knew about it, and I'm tickled we get to cover it this morning. Watch Psalm 1. Look at the first 3 verses, real famous verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the Bible. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God says the ungodly don't ever get... It doesn't say don't get counsel from the wicked. You need to think about this just for a second. When somebody says, I got advice for my life from so-and-so, and you go, they're not wicked. They're not a child molester. And they're not making moonshine in their backyard and selling drugs to kids and all this. Okay, that's a wicked person. But the Bible doesn't say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What is an ungodly person? Without God. Ungodly. It's not that they hate God. It's not that they campaign against him. They just don't have any room in their life for him. That's an ungodly person. Why would you let somebody that is not, that doesn't love the Lord, give you advice for your life? There's 2 types of wisdom in the Bible. A wisdom that comes from above. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18 says it. We don't have time to look at it, but it's worth looking at. And then there is a wisdom that is sensual, earthly, and devilish, or demonic. There is a wisdom that will hurt you. You get godly wisdom from godly people. This is what I wish people would look at. I wish you would look at people at your work properly. If they're lost, they can't give you spiritual advice. They need your prayers to get saved. Well, I think you ought to. Someone with the gift of wisdom, if you look at Proverbs 13:20 and Proverbs 27:9, if they have true biblical wisdom, well, first of all, they themselves love the Lord. They get counsel from godly people themselves. They are a soul winner. He that winneth souls is wise. They love their church. They're not, well, I saw a YouTube video. I am amazed at how many people are getting messed up with videos off of the internet. Well, I saw this sermon okay, I'm glad you saw a sermon. It's not your church. And that guy you saw on the internet, he'll never do your funeral, he'll never visit you in the hospital, and he won't do any of your kids' weddings. He'll gladly take your money, though. So don't ever forget that. They love their church, and watch this, somebody with the true wisdom loves preaching. Why would you get guidance? I didn't say advice. Why would you get guidance and counsel for your life from an ungodly person? Somebody that is not godly. Please be careful. This thing of counsel, who should be in a Christian's cabinet? I think, first of all, God wants to counsel you and guide you. God wants to lead you, but you have to let Him. Judges 20:18, Judges 20:23, Isaiah 9:6, and then the Word of God counsels you. Psalm 33:11, Psalm 73:24, Psalm 17:4, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. What keeps me from being destroyed? The words of God. God wants to guide you. Your parents can be a good source of counsel. Your pastor can be a good source of counsel. And then obviously someone with a gift of wisdom. In looking at this topic, what you do need to understand is, well, I don't counsel with anybody. I counsel with myself. Anytime you hear that, it's dangerous. Look up those who followed their own counsel in the Bible. Jeremiah 17:9, Proverbs 14:12, Proverbs 21:2, Job 18:7, Psalm 5:10. Anytime somebody follows their own counsel and they, like, nobody tells them what to do, they end up being destroyed. That's why I like what an old Christian said. I've just decided I'm going to make my own decisions, and one of the decisions I make is that I'm going to get counsel. That's a good statement. Because other people have this, I don't get counsel, nobody, and it's always this, nobody tells me what to do. Yeah, you're right. Not even God tells you what to do. You run the show. And the lack of counsel stems from pride. This is God's design. This is a tool that God expects us to use in our life. Not all counsel is good. There's good counsel. God killed Saul for seeking counsel of a witch. How could a Christian go to a fortune teller? They're consulting with demons and familiar spirits, palm readers and all this other stuff. If the future scares you that bad, then read your Bible and trust God. But don't go to a fortune teller.